from English literature to cosmetology to user experience design, my next guest has followed an unexpected career path driven by creativity and human connection. After earning her bachelor's in English and working for years as a stylist and salon manager, she's decided to pursue a new direction in UX. She's completed an extensive UX certification course while taking on freelance copywriting projects. And soon after, she's leveraged this diverse experience to land a UX copywriter role at a major cable provider. In this position, they've spearheaded creative solutions for products used by millions across the country. And their unique blend of writing, design, and understanding people has allowed them to bridge disparate worlds and communicate complex ideas. So with that said, I'm thrilled to have Grace Berry on our show today to discuss her multifaceted journey and approach to UX copywriting. Grace, welcome to Got 10 Minutes.
Hi, Twain. Thank you so much. I'm so happy to be here.
Welcome. So let's just jump right into it. So tell us about yourself and your background and the route that you took to working with like major brands across the country.
Yeah, so my journey is a bit of a unique one. So I had started off studying English literature at Temple University in Philadelphia. So my original intention was to teach, but I wound up at an impasse when it came to pursuing grad school or doing something else. So I decided actually to get my cosmetology license because I had an interest in doing hair and makeup. And I had a beautiful time in that industry. That industry is a large user experience experiment because you are dealing with empathy first and foremost. And then you're also creating custom solutions using design principles like color and texture. So it kind of segued in. I always still kept doing freelance writing projects all throughout this process because I do love reading and writing. I love connection and I love any creative outlet, especially ones that you don't often see as openly, you know, outwardly creative. So when the pandemic hit in 2020, I was no longer able to work in cosmetology. So I really ramped up my freelance writing and I kept on seeing user experience copy, micro copy. And I was like, what is this? So I looked in and I was just so fascinated by like the junction of the art, the science, and the psychology of writing copy for apps, for websites and the like. So I wound up studying user experience and user experience design, which was very out of my wheelhouse. That was more visual design when I was more copy and writing. I wound up studying it though, mainly due to boredom and just sheer fascination. And I found that I had a knack for doing both, for looking at the user, the design and the writing and where the writing interacts with the design. So I wound up freelancing after getting that certification and worked with everything from small business, e-commerce, even into solutions for the decentralized finance space. So crypto, essentially. So I kind of was experiencing a little bit of everything and was really kind of just taking it all in, any and all. At the time, though, a member of my network, a dear friend of mine, had been working for this internet service provider, and they were working on a new loyalty program, and they really needed a UX copywriter to help with engaging content and also with writing out the directions for how to redeem certain things and how this actually worked. I was super fascinated because that felt a little bit more in my wheelhouse. You know, I don't always love the marketing sales copy side of the writing world, but I loved the loyalty program side of the writing world. So I haven't looked back since. So I got brought on and it has been such a fun experience.
I love that. What does your typical day look like as a UX copywriter?
So luckily for me, there is never a set routine to my days. Some days I am in meetings from 9 a.m. until 5 p.m. Other days they're broken up, but usually it involves getting new intakes and tickets through Jira, That is our software that we use. It's getting new tickets and seeing what the copy asks are, syncing with the designers to see what the design looks like for this copy and seeing how we can mesh the two. There will be a lot of meetings with stakeholders to go over, are we speaking to these products correctly? Is this, you know, what we want to present? It does this align with our greater mission, with our marketing strategy, with our UX strategy? There will be legal meetings where we have to sit down with attorneys and go through copy line by line and make sure that we are not setting ourselves up for a legal pitfall. And then there's also a lot of coffee breaks and talking to everybody, because I'm an extrovert and we do have to cross collaborate between a lot of teams. So I take a lot of coffee breaks.
Awesome. With someone with an arts background, and more than tech, like, what was the learning curve like breaking into user experience? And did you pick up any new hard skills, or did you just have to like change the way how you thought about things?
So definitely was a bit of a learning curve, and I did get a lot of new hard skills. So I learned a lot, especially when it comes to like the actual physical product and dev. A lot of the specs, like, you know, pixels, sizing, you know, how padding works, but like design principles, I had to pick up and learn and learned through my education. But honestly, I hadn't worked in tech in this capacity for the first half of my professional life. I had only worked by using the products. I used scheduling software, inventory software, you know, any apps that I used on my own. So it was a little bit of a jump to go from what I know and use to how do you build that type of product, if that answers your question. So I have had to learn a lot about technology, about what is new and coming, new trends, new aesthetics. Like, you have to always keep ahead of the curve, because all of that will impact your copy.
And with your background, I'm pretty sure soft skills and creativity and empathy come naturally to you. Like, how do you leverage these skills in UX work, and which can be mostly technical sometimes?
So one of the ways that I tend to leverage this, so I have had to learn a lot of soft skills in regards to communication, verbal, nonverbal, written. So I do find that sometimes working in tech spaces, having a lot of experience working directly, hands-on, physically with people has made communication a lot easier for me. But a way that I kind of leverage this is that, so I'm a tech novice, we could say. I mean, not necessarily at this stage, but I started off as a novice. When I would look at products, it would be the first time that I was ever seeing some of these UI patterns, some of how any of this worked. And I was able to detect usability errors really quickly with them, because I was close to the target market who has no experience with this. So I've kind of been able to leverage that naivety. And luckily, I work in an organization where these questions are so welcomed, like where they never make you feel stupid for not knowing a certain thing. I've been able to leverage that lack of knowledge to find usability flaws and to get more improved solutions. Because if the UX copywriter doesn't understand what this is meant to do, a user certainly won't.
I love that. So what's been your biggest lesson learned, or lessons learned from past roles that help you to excel at UX copywriting right now?
So one of the biggest lessons that I have learned is that every single person sees things in a unique way that is special to them. So when I was working in cosmetology, we, you know, lean heavily into color theory. I was a color specialist. And I learned at that stage that people see golds, reds, coppers, browns. They will see them in different ways and they will call them different things. So I think it really becomes a lesson in information architecture, because some people will call things a certain name and some people will recognize things as a certain name that may or may not differ with the rest of the populace. So you have to find a really good middle ground that is inclusive of everybody. So this is where the conversation of accessibility comes in. So whereas working in cosmetology wasn't an exact accessibility lesson in the way that we think of it with like ADA compliance, it was an accessibility lesson in how do I tailor my communication to match what this person has in their head, their vision. Like, how can my communication match what they are thinking. I kind of have used this when it comes to applying accessibility principles to written solutions, because as we know, certain items, especially when they're relating to color, we cannot use that in calling out an interface. Like, there's no click the red button. Not everyone is going to see red the same way. So how do you instruct them to click that button? Also, even using the word click is a little bit of an accessibility issue, because not every user has the experience of clicking. So what do you say instead of that? While you want to be super specific in UX copywriting, I often opt for select, but I am open to all feedback. If anyone has another solution, I love hearing different ways to kind of get around accessibility and make products that are universally usable.
Yeah, I love that. We like sometimes encounter the same issue a lot, because like most users right now are mobile. It's very hard that the line, it doesn't communicate. But like that suggestion is like really, really great. Sometimes we said tap, but that leaves out people on computers who are using mouses. Yeah. So when collaborating with designers and developers, how do you get your ideas across clearly? And do you have any tips for being effective at this form of communication?
So when it comes to clearly communicating, I find that the best way, especially when you move across the teams, is to start one-on-one. So if I am writing for a project, I am always in verbal and written communication with the designer. I'm a Figma user through and through. I love Figma. I will use Figma comments till the end of time to mark any changes, any questions. I think that having a source of truth, something in writing, is really the best way to ensure proper communication alignment. But I find if you start with yourself and you are aligned, you have your plan of what you want to do, you align with the designer, you guys collaborate, you guys get to an agreement. You take that agreement to stakeholders. You align both of you. So it basically works up the pyramid and you just keep alignment. When things get to dev, that is where things get tricky. And as a UX copywriter, I am often excluded from development conversations just because that would like kind of lean more towards the visual design. The text at that point, they are just taking the text that is approved and adding it into certain places. But I often like to be support for the designers if there is a friction or a clash with dev about why we do certain things, because I'm pretty knowledgeable, especially in written accessibility. I find that this has been a good thing to kind of leverage. Like if they're having an issue with dev being able to do something, or things are kind of getting a little bit wonky, they touch base with me and they're like, hey, this looks weird. How can we, you know, where can we find the middle ground, or what can I do to make it look less weird? Because sometimes it's a matter of just cutting down your characters. So I don't know if that is too specific of an answer for your question, or if that gets it.
That's a perfect answer. I really love that. What are some of the biggest mistakes that you see others make in UX copywriting?
Okay, so outside of accessibility mistakes, using directional language like fill out the form below, or labeling links just as learn more when that's not a very descriptive way to name links, I often see, because I do work in a big organization with a lot of content and copywriters, we have a set style guide. And as I mentioned before, a source of truth really is key to cutting down a lot of your legwork and knowing and feeling confident in what you are putting out. I have often found that sometimes it is hard to get everyone aligned with a content style guide. And especially for my organization, that content style guide is extensive and long and lots of scenarios. But sometimes you, when you're writing, you won't know that there is a scenario that you need to check against your style guide. For instance, representing dates. My company and organization has a special way that they want dates represented that is accessible, because, you know, everyone from different cultures reads dates in a different way. You can't always just do /number/ or month date. So we have a special way to do it. But you know, if you're just writing and you're just going through and you're not really thinking of these specific little conventions, you might represent the date in a wrong way. So I have noticed those little errors kind of sliding through, but those are all very easy to fix. It's just a conversation that you need to have.
And if you could redesign any product, could be technical product or something that's like soft or anything whatsoever, what product would it be and why?
All right, so I have two. The first one is LinkedIn, because LinkedIn, one of my things that I do as a mobile user on LinkedIn is I save a ton of articles, resources. Like I'm always, if I see something, I'm like, oh, I want to read this later. I save it. the way to get back to your saved items is so not intuitive. I actually don't think I stopped trying, but at one point I don't think you could on mobile. You had to go on desktop and like search it to find it. So I have found LinkedIn's outside of other things, I found LinkedIn's interface like a little bit challenging. But the other one that I think about on a daily basis, I hate to say it, is Teams. So we use Microsoft Teams, and I was more of a Zoom girl. So like I know Zoom's interface very well. Microsoft Teams has some like very misleading icons, one of which is for group chats. If you want to go add another person to a group chat, I always make the same error. I hit the plus sign because plus, I don't know, that makes me think add somebody. It's not, you have to go in either forward or invite. It's different on every screen that you see. So hard answer, Teams and LinkedIn.
Oh man, the LinkedIn one is so annoying sometimes.
It's
really hard to find saved icons. I just realized that over the last 2 weeks there were like a few things I've saved, but I didn't really go back to them. And I was like, how do I get back to this? It was like 10 steps. So with that said, what's the best professional advice you've ever received, and who was it from, and why did it stick with you?
I think the best professional advice that I have received is, so related to UX and what I do as a UX copywriter, I think the best thing to keep in mind is messaging and hierarchy. And unfortunately, keep in mind, people do not read. So unfortunately, so shape your copy with that mindset. People do not read. So say the quiet part out loud, say the most important thing closer to the top above the fold, and keep your hierarchy based on the user's needs. When you're in a cross-collaborative environment, the stakeholders, the dev, product, everyone will have their own priority that matches their job description with what they want this product to do. Your job is to remember it's what the user needs this product to do. So you take the user's needs and you put them top above the fold so that users always are oriented as to what they're doing and what they're finding. You know, the random promotion that they would like to include on the page, because, you know, in marketing, they're always going to want to find ways to plug that. You need to make sure that you are good at having a balanced conversation about why that can't be at the top. So I would say keep those user needs, first and foremost. And then outside of UX, the best advice I've ever got is have a conversation with every single person you meet. Honestly, The barista that is making your coffee, I want to hear about how your day was. The person who is scanning my train pass on SEPTA, I want to say hi and I want to say thank you for scanning my train pass. Like, thank you for being here. Those conversations, you don't even realize until years have gone by how much that sets up your network very well. What you put out is what you get back. So if you treat everyone with respect and you want to know how everyone, you know, goes about their day and you want to show interest in everyone, they give you that back. And then when you make your products, you already have a little bit more empathetic background into a vast majority of professions and livelihoods.
I love that. So this is my last question here. I love this interview. So my last question is, what's one weakness that you've turned into your strength?
A weakness that I am still transforming into a strength is being detail oriented. So all of us that work in experience design, experience copy, product design, we know that being detail oriented is a part of the game. However, in writing copy, and especially working in a big corporation when you might be working on 11 unique products at one time, it gets a little bit hard to chase the details. And now we know that there are some details that are a non-negotiable. You have to make sure you're using correct grammar and tensing and the like, but sometimes I find that getting the tunnel vision on the detail, like chasing down the copy for one CTA button, sometimes you lose the details of the whole experience. And then you find that you've written redundant copy in places, or certain things don't make sense as a grand whole. And it's because you have been so focused on one detail, you forgot all the details of the page. So that is something that I am still actively working on, and especially where I'm at right now. We're in a really busy season in my job right now. We're kind of gearing up through Halloween and holiday. I do have a pretty heavy workload, which I love. I love being on my toes and I love getting, you know, it's a new project every hour. I love that. But I do find that sometimes I'm just like, just get it out the door, just solve the problem, just fix these two awkward words before they drive me nuts. And I forget those two awkward words are not the problem. It's the whole page that I need to be like making sure is cohesive.
Oh man, Grace, thank you. Thank you so much for joining us today on God 10 Minutes. Where can our listeners find you if they'd like to connect?
So I can be found on LinkedIn right now. I can make sure that I leave my LinkedIn contact, but that is usually the best place to find me. I'm always on there and I would love to see everyone else's work too. I'm constantly learning myself. So if any other writers have any input or want to continue this dialogue, I am open for the conversation.
Thanks for listening to Got 10 Minutes, powered by Same Logic, action-based in-product surveys. To stay in touch, follow us on LinkedIn or the podcast app you're listening to this on right now for more episodes. Take care.